Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani, and on the panel this evening, we have Creola Boswell, Sister Linda Shorter, Sister Lisa, and Brother Mashinda. Our guest this evening is Ms. Dez. Ms. Dez is a classmate of mine. Well, she's a little bit before me. She graduated before me, but we're around the same age. But we attended Long Beach State together. And this evening, she came on to talk about generational differences. So I'm going to go straight to her. Thank you for coming, Ms. Dez. Let's get started.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. As Rashaki said, I'm Ms. Dez. And I'm going to be talking to you tonight about generational differences. A little bit about myself. I was in HR for about 15 years. And then I worked for some headquarters for like Nestle, AAA, and then American Red Cross. Then got the training bug and worked for LA County Office of Education in their training department. And then started my own business in human resources consulting and training and development and executive coaching. And that's been over 18 years. And so please do not add up those numbers. You know, you'll be guessing my age then. But I am tonight going to talk to you about generational differences. And one of the things that I love of this content and this and to share with you tonight, because it's something that is so in our, you know, workplaces right now. And it's something that we all, you know, kind of are dealing with as we work together. And one of the things you'll see as we go through these different generations is you're going to see, we're going to look at five different groups that are working in our workplaces in the US. Mostly we're going to stick to the US, even though it's global, but I like to stick to the US because you'll see there's some historical issues as to why we have some of these problems that exist in our workplaces when we look at generational differences. And so I like to kind of start off a little bit about, like, what is a generation? When we talk about a generation, what is that? And so a generation is a group of people with a shared history, core beliefs, and common biases. And as a result of events and conditions, each generation kind of has adopted its own generational, like we like to call, personality. And so we're going to go through some of those events and those conditions, and you'll start to see how each generation kind of shapes why they think, feel, react, communicate, how they're motivated, how they give feed, how they like to give and receive feedback. And my hope is by at the end, you'll see how we can, instead of always looking at the differences that we might have, but how we make the most of those differences. And given our state of these United States right now, it is very needed because there's a lot of differences that we have in the workplace. And so some of those personalities you're going to see is going to even look at these events that are going on right now in our nation differently. Or they may react differently, or they're going to have different viewpoints because of their historical background that they have here in the nation. So that's kind of my hope today, is that you kind of get a better understanding. Unfortunately, we're not going to solve those a lot of the problems, but at least you'll walk away with a better understanding of the different generations and how to hopefully work and communicate together better. And by the way, this, I please stop me. Like, I'm not going to just be here presenting. So if you have questions, you have a question, a comment, a thought, an idea, please stop and ask me. and or ask me to expand on something that I might say or you don't understand. So even though there's a PowerPoint presentation, I do want to make this of a conversation and why we're talking about these things and how it can be helpful. So I'm going to look at five generations and in the workplace. And we're going to start off with the matures, the traditionals, prior, if these are people that are born prior to 1945, and then baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. Our Generation X are people born 1965 to 1980. Millennials born 1981 to 1996. And our Generation Z, 1997 to 2012. There is a new generation that we'll get to a little later on that is coming into our workplace, and I'll talk to you about them later. And those are the ones coming after the Generation Zs, and they are being studied right now. So one of the things you'll see, if you were to Google generational differences in the workplace, you'll see similar these names, but the years may be off. Oh, 1 or 2 years. Or some people like to break up Generation X and Millennials, and you'll see six generations, and you'll see generational X and generational Y, and then Millennials, and then generational Z's. Everybody has their own take on this for the most part. This content is coming from UC Merced. And so this is where I'm getting this content from, if you ever wonder why there might be a few differences there. Another thing is, as we look into these different generations, a couple of things to know. They study generations for about 10 to 12 years to kind of come up with these personalities that we're going to talk about. And so that's why when we get to the later generations, you'll see where we don't have a lot of information like we do with the earlier generations. So those are some of the things to kind of think about. Couple of other things to know when we talk about generational differences. There are cuspers. I'm a cusper. Born in, I'll even tell you, I'm a cuspers because I was born towards the end of the baby boomers and the beginners of the Generation X. And so when you're a cusper, the wonderful thing about being a cusper is you get the both of best worlds. So you got a little bit of the previous generation and a little bit of the new generation. The next thing is that there are first generation Americans. If somebody was an immigrant and they were, their parents were immigrants and they were born here, but their parents weren't, that's going to play a role into how they kind of see how some of these historical events can play a factor. And so keep that in mind as well. Our cultural background and differences are going to play a role in how we see things, how we interpret things. And so that kind of pulls us a little bit different from other people that might fall into our generation. Personalities, of course, we all have personalities, different personalities, even if we're all in the same generation. Birth order, are you the firstborn? Are you the middle child? Are you the oldest? Are you an only child? I'm an only child, so that would make a difference. And it's just one piece of the puzzle. We're not here to put you in a box. We're not here to say you only think the way that your generation does. It's just more information for you to consider when we talk about generational differences and how to communicate more effectively with one another. So let's start with the matures, the traditionalists. Sometimes these people are They're called radio babies, right? Because why? Why do you think they're radio babies? Chime in. Anybody can say what you
They
think.
didn't have computers back then.
They what?
They were listening to the radio. They didn't have
There.
many TVs back then.
You nailed it, Mashinta. Yes. So you're absolutely right. They only had the radio, at that time. And so they were listening to the radio. Yep, you're right. So sometimes they're called that as well. They're born prior to 1945, and yes, they are still working in our workforce. 2% of the American workforce. I do some work with the city of Redondo Beach, and wonderful Irene is probably now about 85. She is a go-getter. You don't mess with her. She works with the city mayor and planners, and she can run some circles around all of us. She walks fast, she talks fast, she knows everything. Like anything that goes on in that city of Redondo Beach, you ask Irene. She's gonna be able to tell you. But try to get her communicating effectively and easily with maybe a Gen Z. Might be some differences, might be some challenges, right? So they're either working because they are able to, like Irene, and they want to, and or maybe they need to financially. You know, that might be another reason. One word to describe them is dedicated. And the reason they're dedicated is you think about the time when they were born. You know, it was a Great Depression. They had World War II and rationings and nuclear families, few divorces, gender roles were very defined back then. And they were dedicated to a job. These are individuals that work for organizations for 40 years. They start working for one and they just stay, right? And so, you know, that's why they get the word dedicated. Even if they're unhappy, they're going to be loyal to that company. Some work incentives for them is respect, consistent, regular rules, and schedules. Now, I already want you to start thinking about this. You start thinking about some Gen Zs that you might know, or for those of us who are parents, we might have kids in this category. And, you know, consistency may not always be the regular rules. They like to break the rules. You know, it's like they're not gonna want to, you mean regular rules, you know? And so again, there's already some differences you'll start to see when we get into these different generations. Communication media preference is a letter, you know. So my thing is how I like to use this information, you're working with a mature or a traditionalist. And you want to say thank you instead of sending them a text like you would a Gen Z, it would really, you want to impress them? Yes, get a thank you note and write out thank you and put that on their desk or mail it to them. They are going to think so much higher of you and have so much more respect for you than just sending them this quick little text message, right? So again, that's their preference. It doesn't mean they don't know how to communicate electronically. If they're still working with us, they probably do know how to communicate, but that's their preference. Career model, job for life, loyal to one employer, and they seek job security. So that's how some of the things, when you think about it, you know, they had some, you know, the men were in the workplace. There weren't really women in the workplace as readily as often. And so you're going to see some differences as we move through the generation where that will change. Any questions, comments about matures or traditionalists or radio babies?
Linda, any
Yeah,
questions?
no, but my only comment, I've never heard radio babies, and I like that because I guess I consider my mom a radio baby because she's 88 and she's a retired high school principal. So she, and all the characteristics that you said that describes her. Right? Doesn't it describe them? Isn't that interesting? My mother's on the phone. She's 82, you know, and you know, you're right. It's just like even though they can communicate, they have a preference. They have a preference. Doesn't mean they can't do it, right?
Right.
And her being a retired school teacher, I'm sure she's seen some things or two. You know, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you shared that, Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Lisa.
interesting how then she compares her with my granddaughter Generation Z. And you know, their communication skills are totally different. And when you were speaking, I was just thinking, you know, like somebody's getting married right now, Generation Z, they send a text or they send an invitation through email. But my mom says, I'm not going unless I get something in the mail.
That's a good
Right?
one.
That's a very good example, Linda. Yeah, she's like, I'm not going. Right. And remember, it's a respect thing too. And it's
Right.
you know, you don't do that. That's not proper. You know,
Right.
you don't send this text to invite me to a wedding. you know, but they do. I just got one in text just the other day, you
Yeah.
know. So again, that's the difference. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank
Okay.
you, Linda. Anybody
You,
else?
Lisa,
Questions?
no.
Okay. Stop
Okay,
me. Stop me. Okay.
brother Ahi.
No, I'm just learning. I'm enjoying something. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brother Mashinda. I guess
No,
not.
I don't have any comments right now.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to baby boomers. So baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. They're about 25% of the American workforce. And one word that describes them is optimistic. Now, why would you think that would be the word we would use for baby boomers? Optimistic. What was going on with during those years? What was happening in our United States, in
Right,
America?
so learning a lot about things that they found out that they actually could do as we were, learning. I mean, I just think there was a lot of technology that had changed within that period of time.
You nailed it, Lisa. You nailed it. You're
Okay.
right. What'd you say?
I said, all right.
Yeah, you did. You nailed it. Yeah, I mean, you know, civil rights, right? I mean, we were looking forward to things changing, right? And you know, here and people were being respected and differently, and we looked at each other differently too. Back then, you know, you look at, you think of Martin Luther King, and you think of a lot of the marches that were going on and rights that were happening. I love the moon, you know, landing and Cold War, Vietnam, Woodstock, communal living, all love is peace and love and war. You know, everybody was trying to come together, right? It was. We were trying. We still had a long way to go, and we still do today. Don't we know that? But it was moving in that direction. So optimistic is the word they like to use. Work incentives. Now, this is important. This is important for my millennials and my Gen Zs as some good lessons, as well as the baby boomers. The work incentives were titles, retirement plans, and cash incentives. And then I'm going to go down here and then I'm going to get to this in just a minute why it's so important. Large organizations who provide whole careers, that's their career model, and face time in the office. You might want to take a note on that. Face time in the office. I mean, look what we're doing tonight. We're on Zoom, right? And when you have a Gen Z or a millennial that want to work from home, or that needs to just come into the office when they want to or as they need to. People that are baby boomers that may be in higher positions, why? Because they work their way up. So they're in key high positions, are saying, you want to get promoted, but I barely see you in the office. Now, a lot has changed since COVID. We know that. And a lot of organizations have gone to kind of accept this, but they still struggle, especially since I have a lot of organizations contact me because they're mandating, coming back into the office now. And a lot of companies are struggling with this post-COVID, especially because millennials and Gen Zers are like, look, we proved to you during COVID we can work from home. So why are we doing this back in the office thing? But if you think about it, baby boomers are saying, how do I know you're working? How do I know you're able to get the job done and you're doing it at high production in order for you to be promoted? And they have a formula, hard work plus education equals success. So a lot of millennials and Gen Zs come with their degrees. They're one of the most, largest generations that have degrees. Right, we got our degrees along the way. A company paid for it. You know, we had tuition reimbursement and things of that nature. They come into the workplace with their degree. So they come with part of the equation here, but we as baby boomers are saying, hey, you only been here, what, 2 months? And you want to get promoted? Where's the hard work? You know, I had to work 10 years to get to this level, or 15 years to get to this level. And then I had my education, then we got success. You're coming in asking to be promoted, and you've been here for a minute. So that's where the butting of the head start, and you start to see people not, you know, not respecting each other because of it. And it becomes problems when we work with one another because of that. So I always like to tell millennials, you got to understand the equation that they're dealing with, you know? And so what you have to do is ask for definition of what does hard work look like here? Does it mean that I have to be here 10 years? Or can I show you hard work in another way? Does it always have to equate to years? You see that? Now we can start talking on the same page. And I tell the same thing to the millennials. If you want to mentor Gen Z, you've got to explain what does hard work look like here in this organization. You got the degree, great, but what does that look like? And does it always have to be just years? Because 9 out of 10 times it doesn't. But we think it does. You see that? Questions, comments about our baby boomers. I know I got some baby boomers in this group.
I think the only thing I'll say is that being a baby boomer and raising, what is Lexi,
A
Desiree,
millennial.
raising
Millennial.
millennials now who are in the workforce, we have very different conversations. And I would say my word for them would be expectation, because my expectation of what she looks at the work life and the way I look at the work life, we're very, very different. And it's been a challenge in understanding where they stand and where we stand. Because again, when I grew up, my parents, they stayed at their jobs for 25, 30 years. You didn't waver, you stayed at the same place. That's what you were looking for, is to retire from that location and all of those things. I mean, that's how we were raised. These successful young ones, they can leave a job after a year and demand more money, look for a 10 to 20% increase in wages, and I just don't understand, and yet still be hired and continue to thrive in those environments. And that has just been an eye-opener for me. So sometimes I just say, let me stay in my lane, shut my mouth. But then sometimes I don't shut my mouth. I still got to tell her how I feel about it. So, okay, Desiree, you can take it from there.
No, you're right. The expectations, they have very high expectations, right? And if you're not going to meet them, guess what? Somebody else will. So they'll leave. Most millennials stay in jobs no more anywhere from 3 to 5 years, and that's on the long end. They will move, like you said, in a year, 2 years. If you're not meeting their career expectations, or their financial expectations, you're right, they're gone. They're like, okay, next. So we're like, you haven't been here long enough for me to do that. It was like, what do you know? Oh, you're muted. You're muted, Lisa. What did you say? There you go.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm living that right now with a very successful kid in the career force who, she is continuing to thrive, but she doesn't stay in a place very long. Her maximum has been 3 years. And
That's
for the
it,
last 4
3 to 5 years.
jobs have been 1 year. And she is very highly sought after. So where do I stand in trying to fuss at her about staying in one place when they continue to hire her based on her credentials?
Exactly. But
So.
Lisa, that's because you're fussing at her, because you're fussing at her from a baby boomer perspective.
Correct. And that's why we even started this whole conversation, because I was trying to get myself together to make sure that I wasn't over the top and, leading her in the wrong direction. She was going to do what she wants to do. But I'm just saying that after you and I had this conversation about it, I'm like, okay, now I understand things a lot better, because she's mirroring what her generation is doing now.
And all of them are doing it. And guess what? The workforce has had to adapt to it. They don't like it,
Absolutely.
okay, but they have had to, they have to adapt to it. Why? Because as you see, we're only 25% of the workforce. So what are they to do? And
Well,
also,
they
they're
mention
going to be
it.
our future leaders.
They do mention it in her resume as they're reviewing. They say, hey, well, you've only been here for this amount of time and this amount of time. And that's what I brought to her attention. And she says, they mention it, but they still offer me the position. So where do I stand?
Because you know why? They know how to show what their contributions were and what their contributions are going to be.
Excuse me.
You see that? Yes, Ahi.
Is it possible that they are a reflection of what the workforce offers? Maybe the jobs and companies these days aren't long-term type companies that you can stay at for one job for your whole career. Perhaps having this mobility is a necessity in order to be consistently employed.
Yeah, and you're right. It's what the job has, they offer it because it's demanded.
Well,
That
wait a minute
it is,
now.
it is. They offer it because it's demanded. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm going to go by a specific encounter here with my daughter, who went to San Diego State undergrad, went to UCLA, got her master's. She is a social worker, mental health clinician. She has had some of the best jobs, but I think the workforce is dictating some of her decisions. So I'll give you an example. So she worked as a social worker for the county in San Pedro, and they were running her ragged. And so she's like, I'm doing too much. They're not paying me enough. I'm leaving. So she was there for 3 years. Then she moved to the East Coast, high demand because she's got a California education. She was working on the mobile unit for young mothers who, for whatever reason, were having all kind of issues, whatever. Burn her out there. So then she's like, you know what? I'm gonna go do something different. Still within her workforce, but like I said, the context of what she's doing is the same. It's just that if she gets tired or they're demanding too much of her and she doesn't think that she's being compensated fairly, she decides I'm gonna move on. And nobody's saying, hey, well, just can you stick it out for X amount of years or whatever? She says, because I don't have to. I was like, okay.
And some
So
of the, yeah, some of that, what number, you said a couple of things there, Lisa. Some
okay,
of
I'm
that,
set up now.
no, this is good. This is good. I think, no, please keep it coming. Because some of that is based on what we didn't like happening to us. So when we started raising our kids that are now in the workplace, right? We were like, we didn't, you know, we used to have a saying. What is that saying? Kids are to be seen
And not heard.
and not heard. So now we have kids and we didn't like that. We didn't like that we had to sit at the little kids' table and we were not, you know, we raised our kids to be heard, to be seen and heard. We wanted them to have this high self-esteem. We wanted them to feel special. We
So you're saying
wanted
it's
them.
my fault, Des? You're saying
I'm
it's my
saying this.
fault?
Hey, I didn't. I'm casting the stone right back here. I'm casting the stone. I'm not. You're not alone. This is not a Miss Des and Lisa issue. This is a generational issue. I mean, think about it. When they were playing soccer and they were toddlers, and everybody gets a win a ribbon. When we had a winner and there was a loser, and you had to learn how to deal with being a loser and learn from your mistakes, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go back out there and try it again. We didn't like that feeling. So we said everybody needs to feel special and everybody needs to be
I don't
rewarded.
necessarily agree with, and I don't agree with that. I didn't,
I
I
don't
and honestly
either.
did not raise my kids to do that. I did
I
raise
don't
them to be
either.
heard. I did raise
Yes.
them to be heard and to speak
Yeah.
on things it is when they felt as though there was some sort of misjustice. Yeah, so part of that, you're right, is my issue, my problem, I suppose, but I didn't think it was going to transfer into the workplace where now it's widely accepted. You know what I
It
mean?
is
So
right. No, it is. It has transferred. And I'm saying this in general terms, right? You and I are very like, yeah, I'm not gonna give you a ribbon just for showing up. But your AYSOs and all them people that they played with, In soccer, you showed up, you got a ribbon. So it does transfer into the workplace. You don't show up for work and you're like, what's the problem? You're like, and we're
Correct.
like, because you didn't show up for work and you're late all the time. And you're like, but I'm here. You know, this is what, and again, some of those things translated into our workplace. Not all, and everybody's different in how they raise their kids. But I'm talking about from a generation, it's because we didn't like some of those things. So when we started having our kids, our cultures started to change to adapt to kind of compensate for that. So that
Okay.
self-gratification kind of goes. Yes, Roger
Okay.
King.
I think that Miss Creola Boswell have a comment.
I don't know how to get it back.
Get what back?
Oh, you can hear me.
Yes.
I don't, well, I can hear you guys, but no, but I do remember the boys getting everybody getting trophies, and I'm like, well, yeah, but they're not learning how to deal with things. I mean, deal with disappointment and stuff. That's why I was like, everybody can't get it just automatically. I didn't think it was right. But hey, I was like, you know what? That's the way they want to raise their kids. I mean, you know, that's what they're doing. That's
I
life
can,
changing.
I think I can contribute to this conversation here.
That's a good point.
I know that when I started working at the Boys and Girls Club in 1990, and I think it was starting to be a shift in that where if you're participating, you get rewarded for that. But then they also didn't give the other kids like the ranking like they deserve, like first place, second place. They just wanted all participation, and I didn't agree with that. And I think it started probably in late 80s, early 90s when they start shifting to this all participation thing and everybody's rewarded. And we didn't grow up that way. We grew
Right.
up if you lost, you're not getting anything. And this then one other point. When you talk about how the what is that, the baby, not what is it, Gen's, what is the
Gen
next one?
Z, the millennials or Gen Zs?
Millennials, and how they would want to advance fastly. I think that happened when we started having technology, when everything has started becoming instant at your fingertips. Everything quick, quick, quick. So when they start at an entry level, they want to hurry up and get to a level where they can make the money that the older people are making. And I think that kind of pushed people to want things faster instead of working for it because of this technology and how quick we are with technology. So I think that contributes to some confusion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rashiki. It's called instant gratification. And that's exactly what they want, that instant. I mean, we'll get to it. I'm gonna move on because you'll see how it just changed. You know, like our generations, like you said, when things started coming into our lives and into the workplace, it changed expectations. And that's why I love Lisa's word, is that word expectations. It changed the expectation, right? Because our life changed. So if you think about it, we're now moving into Generation X, 1965 to 1980, 33% of the American workforce. Why do you think they're called self-reliant? What was happening?
Change. Major shifts and changes. And the technology, internet, all that social media, that stuff was starting to be formulated, I think. And I mean,
And they and well, they didn't have the internet yet, but they had the introduction of the PC.
okay.
That
Right.
that's where the internet
Technology.
came, but yeah, they started technology. So internet came like the next year or two, and then but they we had PCs in our home. Like who had a computer in their home? You know what I mean? Like we didn't have that. So you're right. It was technology. And it's like, you know, there was a lot of shifting going on. But one of the things that happened, rising levels of divorce happened. Why did that happen? It was because, you know, our men were coming home from the war and the women were raising the kids and now they came home and they had, you know, trauma and they didn't know how to deal with that. And so they end up getting divorced. And now you've got kids living in different households. And you got, you know, so now the latchkey kid happened. That's the term that was coined, was latchkey kid. And it was either, even if it wasn't divorced and you still had two parents in the home, but both parents had to work. So they were off working, and the kid had to go to school, let them walk home, let themselves in, start their homework, get a little snack. So they became very self-reliant. Why? Because, you know, it was more expensive. Both people had to work. Women started getting into the workplace, not only in the workplace, but they had key positions in the workplace. So now you've got both parents working, and the kid had to kind of fend for themselves. So that's why self-reliant kind of came into play. Follow the Berlin Wall, video games. So now they become very self-reliant because they're kind of to themselves, you know, a little bit more than they were before. And you start to see that the family, you know, structure at home was a little bit different to where they weren't li looking at TV at the same time. People had PCs in their rooms and TVs in their rooms. You know, I mean, you never had that before. So they did become very self-reliant. So therefore, work incentives were family flexible schedules. Health insurance, that's where health insurance started really getting not only popular, it was popular before, but it was demanded. No one got a job and did not have health insurance, where sometimes that didn't happen in the past. You talk about maybe traditionalists and things of that nature. Fair and equal and consistent pay. That's where that term started happening. Career model is loyal to a profession, not an employer. So you see the shift there. Before, we were loyal to the employer, they're loyal to a profession. They're the ones that started portable careers. So your Gen Xers would have a full-time job and then have a side hustle on the gig. They would start doing their own thing, or they'd have two and three different jobs, not because they didn't have a full job, but because maybe they had an interest and they wanted to start a business. Entrepreneurship was on the rise here. And so it was definitely the emergence of the knowledge worker because they had the PCs, so they had more technology at their fingertips. But they also started the model work to live, instead of live to work. See, that's where I like what Lisa said earlier about her, you know, about her daughter Lexi, where, you know, it's like, look, I'm running ragged. Self-care started coming into the workplace. I got to take care of myself because this company is gonna, they drove my grandma, my granddaddy, or my mom in, you know, ragged into the ground. Now she's tired and can't even enjoy life. So they didn't like that and said they started working to live. And so you'll see a lot of Gen Xers that like to have multiple careers or multiple avenues of streams of income. Comments about Generation X?
Makes sense.
Doesn't it? One thing I think about the Generation X, they kind of also are part of this what we like to call, they were part of the helicopter parenting with the millennials. They're baby boomers didn't do it on their own. It was Generation X that did it too. But one thing I will say with Generation X, you'll see them in the workplace, and they like to work autonomously. They don't need a lot of hand holding, and it's because nobody held their hand what they've been letting themselves in since 12 years old. And
Well, I
so,
do think it's interesting that we are a bit of both. So we're baby boomers and the Gen X, because I can see characteristics of both of those in, my what I do. I mean, I was in 64, but I do think that, I'm leaning a lot more towards the Gen X side as well.
I
It's a
agree.
little
I
bit of
am too.
both.
Yeah, it is a little bit of both. We've got a little bit of baby boomer, but more Gen X because we're right at that cusper, right? We're right
Cusper. That's
there.
what I am. It's a cusper. Okay.
Yeah, we're a
Yep.
cusper. Yeah. And
Yeah,
so
I'm
you get
right.
the best of both worlds. Are you a cusper, Rashiki?
Yes, I am. Definitely.
So it's you get a little bit of both, but we kind of lean more towards the Gen X, right? So real quick, let's get to the millennials. Gen Y, millennials, a lot of people, we've been talking a lot about them. 1981 to 2000, 45%, that's actually increased. Now they're almost half. Oh, a little bit over half now. One word, as we've been talking about, we know why it's tech savvy, right? I mean, they were the first generation that grew up with the internet. Like it was when they were younger, it was already starting to be in obviously our world. And so, but they also had some experiences that are interesting. 9/11, the rise of global terrorism, right? Game consoles, social media, reality TV, Google. I mean, if you asked someone back in 1964, Google was not even a word. It wasn't, it's like, right? Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay, I thought I heard something. Yeah, so social media, what was social media? We didn't know what that was. Reality TV. What is that? So they were the first. I want you to think about it. They were the first generation to have access to information in seconds. At their fingertips. When we were in school, Lisa and Rashaki, we were in the library, right? We had to be in the library. We had to go get the books, right? And when we had obviously, we had the PC where you started typing, but it was different. It wasn't, I don't even remember now, but I always think of the encyclopedias. We still have encyclopedias in our office at home. And I remember the boys when they were growing up, they were like, "What are all those old looking books up there?" It was like, that's how we did our research, right? I was like, we did our research on that. They had information automatically. So that instant gratification, that's where it was born. It was born because I can order food and it shows up on my doorstep. I can, whatever I want and need, I can, it shows up. I mean, heck, they have hookup apps. I mean, if I'm lonely and I need some loving, tender love and care, I can order it.
Just have the drive to go get it. Now you can just snap the fingers.
Bingo, there it is. I mean, isn't that crazy if you think about it? Those of us who lived in a time that you couldn't do that, it's interesting, right? And so their work incentives play a role into that. Flexible time off, cool perks and travel opportunities, equal and consistent pay, promotional opportunities. We've been talking about that. I mean, because if you think about it, they came in with their degree in the workplace. Most of us was working and then got our degree. Some of us came into the workplace with the degree, but still we had little jobs on the side maybe while we were in school, right? As we were getting our degrees. A lot of the millennials, and they just went to school. They were just students. And then they started working. You see that? So they come in with a lot more knowledge than what our generations before came in with. They are the generation, they call them the one of the smartest generation because they have information at their fingertips. Now, I hear this. the cool perks. They're expecting you. You go to Google and you go to one of my clients with SpaceX or PayPal, right? You go to those places and they have food laid out all the time and good food. And they have drinks and they've got naked juices and Perriers and I mean, just out for them to eat all day long because they want them what? To stay there and work 24/7 if you can, pretty much. They have cots for them to sleep at because you don't need to go home and take a nap here and then keep working, right? And so they're used to having the cool perks that come along with it, or travel and events that they get to go to. Career model, the first digital careers work with organizations, not for an organization. That's what my grandparents did. That's what my parents did. We don't work for an organization. We want to know what the organization has to give to me, and I will give back. It's a give and take, you know? And so, again, that's why staying for a year, you know. Lexi stayed for years, like, oh no, this is not working for me. I am moving on because I know somebody else that I can go work for that is not going to run me ragged and I'm going to get more pay. And guess what? She has done so and
Great
done very
that a
well.
lot too.
What did you say, Mom?
You did that a lot too. Remember,
I did.
I said you're working for this company, and 2 years later you're working for another one. But
I was ahead of my time.
each time you did it, you went up a notch. You didn't each time you changed jobs, you got higher pay and a higher position.
I
You
did.
did better each time, and I'm like, let me be quiet. She's doing all right.
That's why I say, Miss Creole, I better stay in my lane and be quiet.
And I know that's why I'm like, hey, I worked for 40 years at the same place. What can I
My parents did too.
help?
37 years,
Really?
29 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she used to think I was crazy, but I think I did have a little bit of insight,
Desiree,
information.
you always been a hustler, girl. I'm gonna
Yeah.
just put it out there. You've been a hustler.
I have been a hustler. Yes, I have. I must say, but I also had a little bit of information. Like I was in HR, so I knew what it took to move on to where a lot of other people just didn't have that information, and so they may be a little bit more apprehensive to move on. You know, people I'm talking about in my day and age. You know, back then, right? Because I'm not a millennial, and I knew. Oh, I see the writing on the wall. We about to have layoffs. We're about, and I'm the first. It was first, right? First in, last to go, or last in, first to go,
First,
rather.
right.
Last in,
Yeah.
first to go. So I knew I was gonna be the one that they were gonna chop. I was the last in. So I was like, why am I gonna stay here? That's why I would move a lot of times.
Well, you saw it happen to me as a
And I saw it happen to you. Exactly. Right. And I knew it was going to happen. You know, so I studied organizations. That's what my master's is in. My master's is in organization management and development. And so I would see these, I started looking at the trends of what the organization was going then. And I was like, why am I going to stick around when I know they're going to chop me? So might as well start looking now. I have a motto that I learned along the way. Be willing to stay and ready to go.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yep. So I was always willing to stay as long as, you know, we on the same page. But I also was ready to go. My resume was always updated. Always. You know, so
You
again,
have the ability to adjust. Yep.
yeah.
And that's
And
the
a
beauty.
lot of baby boomers and Gen Xers just didn't have that quick way of doing that sometimes. Yeah. So it's a skill. It's something that, but again, I had a lot of good information behind the scenes that I was getting that most people don't get being in HR. Yeah. And I worked in headquarters. So I didn't work like for a regional office. I worked in headquarters. So I was getting a lot of information before it even got out to the regular regional offices and things of that nature that other people wouldn't have. So that was a little bit of extra reasons why. One of the things with my millennials, work my way, not your way. Ooh, tell that to a boss. Right? But that's, you got to think about it. That's, they got some gumption to go, you need to work my way, not your way. And if you're not, then I'm going to leave. Again, it comes back from a little bit of our helicopter parenting. Desire meaningful work, multitask or die, because they're used to just doing things. They can have the TV on, the radio, they've got their laptop up, they've got, they've got multiple things going on, and they're used to being able to do that. So you got to keep them busy, right? Questions, comments about my millennials or Gen millennials. All right. Let's just look at our Gen Zs. Let's look at our Gen Zs. 1997 to 2012. And this is, they're currently employed. It says part-time or interns. And again, this is, there, it's not, it says 5%. It's actually now up to about 15% of the workplace. Formative life experience, mobile devices. Now you would say, what, didn't millennials have that? But it was literally towards the end, where every now every they were born with mobile devices in their hands. That's what we mean by that, to where millennials got it halfway through their time. Global warming, environmental issues, COVID-19 pandemic, the Me Too movement, George Floyd and racial justice protests, overturn of Roe versus Wade, Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. Now, you see, they've got a lot of things going on here, my Gen Zs. And the thing with them is they are really a person that they believe in these justices, and they will go work for a organization that believes in that same justice. And if you don't, they don't really want to work for you because you go against what they believe. You see, work incentive, same day pay. Now, I knew this was coming being in HR, but I didn't know that it was here. And what that means is that you actually get paid the same day you work. The money is deposited into your checking account. If you worked 4 hours, you would get 4 hours a day. You would get 4 hours paid today. If you worked 8 hours today, you would have that in your bank before you probably pulled out of the parking lot of your job. And I really thought this was coming much later, until not even this summer, as last summer, my son, who goes to college in Wisconsin, came home for the summer and he got a job at Dick's Sporting Goods. And he went for his orientation, 8 hours, 8 hours orientation. I pick him up. And I said, "How was orientation?" "Oh, it was great. It was great." He goes, "Mommy, can I go to drop me off at the mall?" I said, "What for?" "I want to go to the Nike store." I said, "Well, what money? You just started today." He goes, "Oh, no, I got paid." I said, "What? No, you get paid in 2 weeks, right? Like a normal person." And he goes, "No, Mom, I got paid today." I said, "What are you talking about?" He showed me his account. There it was, 8 hours a day paid that day. So these Gen Zs are going to be expecting and to get paid immediately.
And that's why all you Gen Zs are stressing out and having mental problems too.
You're
Everything
absolutely right.
is moving too fast. It's moving too fast. Too fast.
It's moving way too fast. And if they don't get it, then they get depressed. There's
Yeah.
a the social media also has a big play in this. We're seeing this in the workplace. They are getting more and having mental issues. You're right. It's like the mental issues are really happening in the workplace. If my boss doesn't give me feedback, in a way that I feel I can hear them and it's uplifting, then I think less of myself. Or this is why I don't get invited to, all the events that are going on, and they start feeling just bad about themselves. I was doing a leadership training for about 50 managers for a regional center, and they're like, "I mean, I've got some amazing workers. They're Gen Zs, but I like every time I walk into their area where they work, they're like, 'Oh, did we do something wrong? Did we do something wrong?' And we're like, 'No, I just came in to say hi." They're just self-doubting. The self-doubt is very high with this group. And we're starting to see it in the workplace. And it's
So
really hard to
odd.
manage. Isn't that? Yes.
Well, it's the communication for me. I mean, I do work with, so I actually work with training some underwriters that are coming dressed right out, and I work in the insurance organization. They come right out of underwriting school, and they're, I mean, I would say between the ages of maybe 20 and 30. And it is a different conversation with them when I'm communicating, because I literally sometimes have to tell them things three or four times a different way every time, because I feel like they're taking it in it's just a different level of communication. Very frustrating for me, because I feel like if I tell you it the first time, then your common sense should take over the conversation. But that is not how these folks understand. And that's how Desiree and I got on this big subject, because I was like, what am I saying wrong? But then I had to stop for a second, because just like Miss Criolla said, everything for them is so fast, you have to stop and say what you need to say. And sometimes you may say it three or four times, and then they will understand it. And it has to be, Desiree, what word am I trying to say? It has to be exactly what it is. You can't waver from it. You can't infer that they would get it. You have to tell them exactly what you're thinking or, trying to convey, or they won't get it.
You're absolutely right that you have to be very direct with them,
Direct.
and you have to ask them to write things down.
Very much so. Yes.
They don't write anything down. So that's why they don't remember. Because if you think about it, you're right, Mom. They think so fast. Their minds are going so fast because they're used to getting things so fast. And so there's actually statistics around this. We speak about 125, 140 words per minute. Our brains process information and words at about 1400 words per minute. So as we're talking, our brains are going like a little computer, right? It's going like a little computer, and that's natural no matter what generation we fall into, right? But especially for them, because of their lifestyle and the way that they were raised, it's going even faster, they're saying. So that's why you're having to say things when you're giving instruction three and four times to them. And you're like, didn't we just go over this? And you're thinking, why do I have to go over this again? So when I'm, dealing with a manager and an employee that are not seeing eye to eye, and I'm counseling them, I tell the man, she do. And this is the other thing. If you tell them in your office, let's say they stop in your office, Lisa, and they ask you, and you're like, this is the third time I've told them, blah. Don't tell them in your office. Because what are you teaching them? You're teaching them that the answer lies with you in your office.
Well,
Especially if the information is on an intranet or in a standard operating procedure or something at their desk. So, go to their desk and tell them.
so because the location is different, like why,
Location.
what's the
It's the
a
location.
little.
You're teaching them that, oh, I'm stuck. I'm just going to go to Lisa's office and ask her, because that's where the answer lies, in your office with you. And it doesn't.
Well, the other way, you're teaching them to find it themselves.
Bingo. You're
Okay.
teaching them to find it themselves. They have the answer at their desk. They have it
Is
there.
this after I roll my eyes?
It's hopefully before you roll your eyes.
They're gonna be rolled a lot, a lot.
Hopefully before, not after. Okay. But yeah, you've got to teach people where to find the information, especially if they have the information. If they don't have the information, that's one thing. But if you've gone over it over and over again, and they've got it because you've already told them to write it down, right? We already did that step. or you have some type of typed out situation, or it's on the intranet, it's on their computer, wherever it is, go back to their desk and do it. You're training them and teaching them where to find, you're teaching self reliability, accountability, right? Responsibility, all of that. Because a lot of times they're just used to quickly, oh, I know where to get it and I could get it there faster. So I'm gonna go ask Lisa. Lisa doesn't always have the answers because Lisa's not going to be there all the time. Plus, if you are there, you don't have time to keep repeating yourself.
Oh,
So
it's driving
just,
me bananas. And then I look at them differently, you know, because I'm like, you're
yes.
not, you know, they're not, then I'm snapping and I don't want to do
And you
that.
don't want to do that. And
No.
so you're teaching them how to be a proactive at the same time. One word I like to tell say is knowledgeable because they have everything at their fingertips again. Mobile workers moving with the knowledge to where the knowledge is valued most. They will want change, stimulation, and fast promotions again. This is the group also that will quit a job because you don't make a statement as an organization against a issue that they support, whether it be racial, whether it be just political view or ruling, anything of that nature, they will quit a job and they will protest and then they'll blast you all on social media about it. They will blast you and say, never go work for that organization. They didn't say, blah, blah, blah about a particular issue. So I don't believe in them and I won't support them. So they will do that. They will stand up for those justices. And yeah.
Now, the now that that could be an issue when you just accept anything. I think that a
Yep.
lot of these young people, they accept things without really thinking about the what can happen and the consequences. I have to, you know, when I talk to my daughter about certain things, she's in the Gen Z. She's one of my younger kids. And she's a recent graduate and all of that. They really don't, you know, I try to speak to them with certain, identifying certain types of values, but they just accept a lot of things, and it could lead to chaos just by
Yep.
accepting every little thing. There should be some limitations in life. Like you can't just run full speed into a wall. So I try to talk to
Wrong.
them
No.
in a sense where, you know, you gotta draw the line somewhere in the sand. And a lot of people, you know, they're just accepting of how things are. I'm not that way, but I've noticed that these Gen Zs are like that. You
Yeah,
know.
they are. And and they're expecting the organizations to be doing the same thing. And so they're gonna learn kind of the hard way that organizations are not just gonna jump up and take a stand just because they
But
believe in one way.
I would like to say maybe I don't necessarily agree with that part of it. You know why? Because I would say some of the young people I work with, they question everything. Well, why are we doing it? Like, you know, if they don't write it all down or whatever, then I got the ones who are just like, well, why do we do it like that? Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? I mean, so I think I've had it both ways or whatever. I don't mind the whys. It's sometimes the response to the why that I don't like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I do think, you know, and I have a Gen Zer and I have a millennial. And so, and my Gen Zer is a cop. And hers is a whole different experience, I would say that I mean she's getting it from all over the place and she gets a lot of it from these 40 to 50-year-old white males who expect her not to ask why. You know what I mean? So I mean like I said, I feel
And they
like
have
I'm
a
giving it.
hierarchy issue thing going on that
Correct.
too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want her to be able to stand up for herself. I don't have to tell her to stand up for herself, but I'm just saying because how she was raised. But I also think that it, you know, they have to be prepared, you know, for not accepting what society's given you and not be afraid to ask the questions to try to better wherever they are in their particular workplace or, whatever the situation is. So there's a lot of components, I'd say, to what a Gen Zer is going to have to deal with as they move forward in, in life.
And you're right. They are asking the why, and you think about it, it's the my way or not the my way. They really want to understand, and then they're going to question, why are you still doing that way when we can do things faster, smarter, easier,
Correct.
right? And so they're like, why are we still doing it that way? And then you've got the Gen Z, I mean the Xers and the baby boomers saying, because we've always done it this way and it's work, and why should we? If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's like,
Yeah,
and so
really.
this is where the butting of the heads come. This is my thing. And in teaching generational differences, the one thing I will say as we get ready to talk about our last slide, which is what's next. Whether we like it or not, our millennials and Gen Zs are going to be our future leaders. And we may not see the things the way they see it, and it's challenging to us, but we really have to do a little bit of a paradigm shift to say, since they're going to be our leaders, how do we help them get ready to be prepared to be effective leaders? Right? How do we pass that torch? How do we teach them to not only just respect, but understand the historical reasons of why we've done things the way we've done things, and not throw that, that saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, they don't have to accept everything, right? But they need to, because they're so smart, they should hopefully use all that wonderful knowledge that they have of these are the things that we need to keep continuing, right? Going in a successful way. And these are things that we don't need to do because they're archaic and maybe they're old, and we get that. So my thing is, as frustrating as it is, that's why I like to give the suggestions of having them write things down, having them repeat back so that you can build the accountability, so you can help them understand how to be more effective, because technically they do need to write things down and they don't. I mean, so these are skill sets that we need to be teaching them anyway, so that they can be more successful while still respecting their differences, and then at the same time we're helping them to respect ours. And so that's kind of how, because yes, it is very frustrating. We're thinking, I can't tell you how many times I've even told my own kids, write them down. I teach 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I ask my sons to read that book for years because I know it would only benefit them. And Dick come home from school day before he went off to college and said, oh, Mom, Smith has this reading 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and oh my God, it is so good. And I learned about being proactive. And I was like, as I wanted to just reach. I'm just joking, right? But after I got over myself, right, and I realized, look, it takes a village. And if Mrs. Smith can get him to read that book because I know it's going to help him in the long run, okay. Like, it's been in your on your in your room
Different
on your
communicator,
shelf.
different
Yes, it's been
communicator.
and different venue, like coming from your mom. That's what my mom does. That's yeah, I, no, that's what my mom does. It's just it's a it's being delivered in a different way, right? And I get it. And I'm like, I so again, I think we just have to learn how to come together. I wanted to talk about these things because if we can learn how to respect them and talk to them in a way that they can hear us from their perspective, now knowing these differences, then the chances of us really learning and respecting one another as we continue to pass that torch and helping them be successful go up. And that's what really hopefully it was. The next generation. What's next? They are the Generation Alpha. We're starting over. We are at Generation Z, and so we're starting over with Generation Alpha. We don't have much information on them, of course, because they're what they're 14, so they maybe they got a four, the maybe they got a part-time job. So remember, we study these generations for about 10 to 12 years. once they get into the workplace, and then that's how we come up with these nuances. The future insight will be 2025 to 2039, and that would be Generation Beta, is what they're going to be calling them. How was today? Any questions, comments that you might have about today? I hope it was
It's just
helpful.
fascinating, Desiree. So fascinating. Really
Thank
is.
you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I would like to go through the panel, the people that's left. So we start with Ms. Criola. Question, comment?
No, not at this time. It's I'm just really proud of my daughter, and she does a good job.
I agree with you. She's excellent. Lisa is also. Glad to know both of
Right.
them.
Very well educated and smart young ladies.
Thank you, Miss Crayola. You helped raise
I
me
don't
too.
know, young so
right?
Give that
Yeah.
credit to you too.
All right. Other Machinda.
Very interesting topic tonight. Very interesting information given. I appreciate our guest coming on and giving her perspective and breaking down some facts that that she's come up with or that's out there. I just want to say it's going to be pretty interesting what the like this current generation, I guess the last generation, and moving forward, what's going to become of a lot of the people that fits this, this current generation in the future. Because I mean, you're talking about technology and what technology has done in terms of speeding up the process, creating anxieties and different mental issues that you guys talked about, where we have this artificial intelligence era coming in, and people that's not going to be prepared to take that on. Of course, they're going to always be people that go to school and learn and keep up, but I'm thinking, when we talk about the masses of the people in terms of where they're going to be working and how they're going to support themselves. You talked about the knowledge economy. You talked about it's they hire you for what you know. If you're in one of those fields where there's a shortage and the government, for instance, is pro mental health or pro education, and you have a government job, like myself. I do a lot of good things there, and I think it's very much needed. But as time goes on and different regimes come into play and institute their agenda, it's kind of like, how are they going to be able to keep up with that? So I'm hopeful that something will happen good, but
Yeah.
for what I'm researching about artificial intelligence. And it's I don't know. I'm just curious to see how the current and the future generations are going to cope with what's going on, moving forward. But thank you for your presentation.
Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right,
Time will tell with that AI.
Brother Ahi.
I just appreciate the information and working around it. A lot of the young people does seem to be some type of just a different way of communicating with them, and the difference in my generation being able to be direct and not have to be so careful about what you say and how you say it, but be truthful and be direct. But these days you just have to navigate a different kind of way. So I appreciate the conversation today. I've never heard it put this way. It does make sense that you are a kind of reflection of your times and the as my man said, Mashinda said, artificial intelligence, which will be taking up most of the mid-level intelligentsia or intellectual jobs in the very near future. It's going to dictate a lot of a change. It's going to be a lot of change in these young people's lives. But yeah, it was very informative. It was very informative, and I appreciate you sharing your information with us tonight.
Thank you, Ahi.
Well,
thank you,
Miss Lisa. Did you get a chance to say something?
Oh, I think I've probably said enough. Great job, Des.
All right.
Well, I will just say this much, that when Desiree did this presentation at Chico State, she was talking to some educators who were preparing for their students. Am I correct, Desiree? They were preparing for the students to come, and she was trying to give them some insight on what they needed to expect from those students and how to sort of deal with them. And I literally was just at the edge of my seat too, because there's a lot of things that she brought to my attention that I just wasn't aware of. And I have kids of this age, but I'm also working, like I said, with some younger folks, and it totally has helped me going forward and how to communicate with them on a different level. And it's really been helpful, because now I think we talk a little bit more and I don't get as frustrated with them as I was before, because it is a different generation. And one thing we didn't talk about was the AI portion. And like I said, I work for an insurance carrier, and they are trying to incorporate AI in documentation and actuarial things that they're doing, trying to predict analysis for. It's just very interesting how the AI is going to, like the fellow said, is going to really move forward, you know, affecting all of what we do, because it's happening, and it's happening rapidly. You know, the big wigs in my company are talking about it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's happening now. We have a leader right now who's comparing her employees' work to what AI did, and that they are not at the level of AI. And so she started writing her employees up.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I actually am coaching her right now, because she, of course, the employees pushed back and felt they were being discriminated against. And so it has become a huge problem. And so it's just the tip of the iceberg. I purposely didn't mention it, because I knew that would open up Pandora's box, and I didn't think I had time to kind of go there tonight. But yeah, you're absolutely right. AI is just going to change everything that we do, as well as replace a lot of jobs that are, as Mashinda said, that will no longer be available. And so it's going to be very interesting. And I think we also have to help our young people learn how to get ready to deal with that.
Yeah. And one thing about that is, it's going to create alternative markets. And hopefully, when that happens, you know, people will, hopefully we have rational alternative markets, because you know how illegality happens when you can't get your money in this system. How do you get your money? How do you get that form of exchange that's needed for survival?
Yeah.
So it's gonna create some different type of things. But we, you know, I think if you're, you know, studying and doing the things that you're doing, Ms. Dez, and informing, and people are seeking information, it'll be okay.
It will. And that's why I agree. That's why I like to teach. I did want to share, if you don't mind, just real quick before we end tonight, that free program that I wanted to share to everybody. If you know of a teen that is between the ages of 14 and 18, it's a free program. And I'm going to say it because I know we are all of African-American descent here, but most of the time our Latino kids take up all the spaces of these programs, and then none of our kids get them, or they don't know about them. And then they don't get to have, we talk about having access and making sure they're successful. And this program is from Blanchard Institute, and it's teaching kids how to have leadership skills, how to talk to their teachers, how to talk to their parents, how to set goals and accomplish those goals. And it is free of charge. Both of my boys took it and they put it on their college applications, and each one of them got into like 12 and 14 different schools. So I would love to share it. I'm going to pull it up. Thanks, Rashidi, Rash, Rash, saying your name, Rashiki. It's late,
It's
okay.
fine.
It's late. I'm
Rossi.
getting it.
All
I'm calling you everything, but the right way. Okay. Okay, so here is, if you want to do the QR code, they can take it online. It's a 4-week course. They can put it on their applications for college. It's all for students who want to invest in their own growth, set clear goals, increase confidence, right? And then it's also for people that work with youth, teachers, parents, coaches, administrators. It teaches them that same language, and then they actually will, what they call champions, and they'll get a certificate in that. This is free of charge. I am a Blanchard channel partner, and I do their modules that I can charge my clients for, but they have said we can't charge for this. So if you know somebody 14 to 18, they are going to be having ones for college coming out in June. So college kids will be able to have this same program, but it'll be at their level, and they are just gonna teach them things like a mindset of a leader, goal setting, diagnosing, matching the lead, the style that they need to get what they want to accomplish. So it's all around being proactive, challenging, assume constraints, activating points of power, and helping them to be more confident, especially like we were talking with those Gen Zs. We're seeing that the confidence is just not there. And so why the whole thing with Blanchard is they're like, what should we wait till they get into the workplace to teach these skills? So they're trying to teach it early now. And so I'm just trying to tell everybody that knows a teen, 14 to 18, college students are coming later, to please take this program. And it's free. There's no reason not to take it. And they can do it on their own pace, or they can enroll into that class that's starting in February. And then I'm also going to be doing it with a couple of organizations, and I will be giving those dates out at a later time. Then I'll be doing one in person for a couple of like 100 Black men of LA. I'm going to be doing it for them. And then I'll let you know, Rashaki, if you know of anybody who wants to come to that one. So
Okay.
that's just, I wanted to share that information. I'll put the QR code up there again. So if you want to take a, there's a QR code that's for the free 4-week online course. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Are you gonna show it? Oh.
Oh, it's right there.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, good. Good. Thank you for
Yeah.
that. That's a program that we need to take advantage of. Today I
Yeah.
gave it
Get our
to my
kids enrolled.
I gave it to my administrator today, so hopefully,
Okay, good.
they take advantage of it also. So now I really appreciate you coming on here, exposing us to this information, because anyone who sees it can now find more effective ways of communicating, knowing this information. And so it's a real good thing, and I appreciate it. So let me talk about who's coming on tomorrow. I will show it. Share the screen.
Rashiki, do you have somebody on every night? Because you had somebody on
I mean,
yesterday
I'm
too.
forgive me, next week, next Wednesday.
Okay, I was gonna say you are
I'm just,
dedicated. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I'm, you know, it's been a long day, okay? But we have a
Right? That's
gentleman
what I was like,
coming
oh
on.
wow.
I think he's in Atlanta, I'm not sure, but his name is Neb Takharka. and he's going to talk about information that's talked about. But you know, when we get like the quantum leap into the new time, and I think they talk about a 13-month calendar, I'm gonna find out. But it's really mind-boggling. So I wanna learn more about this, and I want people to learn more about it, because we need to expand our knowledge base. And there's some things out here that's not fully explained, and it may be very beneficial, and people need to be exposed to it. So I can't wait for next Wednesday. That should be really good. Nice flyer. He did this flyer and sent it to me. It's very nice. I like it. Colorful, and just, this is wonderful. Well, I appreciate everybody coming on this evening. Ms. Dez, excellent presentation. Ms. Lisa, excellent comments and exchanges. I wish you all come on more, and hopefully, you know, we'll start a trend of the wonderful right. ladies from Long Beach State coming on here dropping science for us. So I'm gonna end this evening by saying we're gonna take our pause. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Let's keep doing what we do. Thank you, everyone.